The energy transition is a long and winding road, and it needs to be taken step by step. Learn more at SiemensEnergy.com.
This is Barron's Live. Each weekday, we bring you live conversations from our newsrooms about what's moving the market right now. On this podcast, we take you inside those conversations, the stories, the ideas, and the stocks to watch so you can invest smarter. Now, let's dial in.
Welcome to Barron's Live. I'm Alex Yule, Deputy Editor of Barron's. Thanks for joining us today. So it's one of the year's biggest weeks for tech stocks. Five tech stocks worth a combined $10 trillion in market value are going to be reporting their earnings within a 48-hour stretch this week. We're going to be busy, but right now is the calm before the storm. So I'm glad to have some time to kind of step back and talk to Eric Savitz, who's with me here today. Lauren and Ben are going to be back next week to talk about broader markets. But for right now, it's all about tech. So Eric, welcome back. Great to have you on.
It's good to be here. It's good to get the band back together again.
Indeed. So, you know, let's just cover the basics at first. I mean, I just want to point out for anyone who hasn't yet caught up on what's to come this week, we're going to get Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, Microsoft, and Meta platforms all reporting, as I said, within about a 48-hour stretch. It's Tuesday and Thursday, they all report. Wednesday is a little quieter with some smaller companies. AMD also reports Tuesday in the mix. So all these guys, for whatever reason, whether it's a quirk of the calendar or the SEC, they like to put all their reports together. It's not easy for a tech reporter or an investor to keep up, but we have fun and we'll do our best. It feels like there's always a lot riding on this week of tech earnings. Maybe this quarter feels even bigger though, given that tech stocks have been on the move so significantly. The Nasdaq is up almost 40% from its March 2023 lows, and it's only about 4% from all-time highs now. So, you know, I think the expectations are relatively high. The good news for us is that we have a lot of practice covering these companies, Eric. We know them very well. So give us, let's start by giving us kind of from a high level, step back before we talk about the companies specifically. What are the themes, the topics that you'll be watching most this week and that investors will be most focused on?
Sure. So I think there's a bunch of things. To the surprise of no one, AI is going to be a hot topic this week. And from a couple of particular points of view, one is all about monetization. So, you know, it's been a little over a year now since we've all been talking about generative AI. That all started in November of 22 when OpenAI launched ChatGPT, and then everyone has decided they need a strategy and is launching products. There's a lot going on. We saw a little of this just last week. With some of the early earnings reports. You saw it with IBM's earnings. You saw it with ServiceNow's earnings. You saw it with SAP, which raised their forecast and saw their stock move higher. So there's a lot of excitement about that, and we're going to see that in many of the names that are going to report this week that you mentioned. Another relevant part of this puzzle is the cloud. You know, so it just so happens that three of those companies, Amazon and Microsoft and Google, are the three largest players in cloud computing. We've had a period for a few quarters now, where growth has slowed. And it slowed in part because of this process that they all like to call optimization, which is this, basically a nice piece of jargon, which basically says customers have been trying to slow down the growth of their spending on cloud services, that it felt like it was got a little out of control during the pandemic. But there's some reason to think that the turn has come and that those companies should see some acceleration in their cloud businesses. I would keep particularly focused on what we hear from Microsoft on Azure and from what Amazon says about AWS. If those two things both outperform, it's going to be a really good week, both for their stocks and for tech generally. So yeah, I think that's going to be a big deal.
And really important. And, you know, the interesting thing I think about the cloud versus AI, and at this point, they're certainly related topics, right? But companies are at least the three you mentioned, do provide a good level, a good amount of specifics on cloud growth, right?
Yes, yes. And I would note
that, unlike AI.
Right, unlike AI. I would note that in Google's case, last quarter, or I should say Alphabet's case, Google Cloud last quarter actually came in quite a bit shy of expectations. So there'll maybe a little extra scrutiny there, but it's the two big ones, it's Azure and AWS that are going to like drive sentiments on the cloud. And it tends to impact a whole bunch of other companies that have exposure here, whether it's you know, Snowflake or MongoDB or a whole bunch of others. There's going to be ripples from what the big guys say about the cloud. Now, there are a few other things to keep an eye on. Amazon also happens to be, of course, the largest player in e-commerce. They will be reporting their results for the holiday quarter. And there is some optimism that they had a really good quarter. Now we'll see. You know, they're cross currents. They've got these new competitors from some of these very low cost retailers in China, Temu and Shein, or how you pronounce those two companies. And we'll see if that had any impact. But I think there's a lot of optimism on the street about that, and that could bode well for other e-commerce players that are going to be following.
And Eric, that's kind of been for Amazon in the last, I'd say, year, really since kind of in the post-COVID period, that's been a little bit of the forgotten business, right?
Yeah, a little bit of the forgotten business, which is ironic because, of course, it's, you know, certainly from a revenue point of view, it's their largest business.
Right.
AWS is much more profitable. The other piece of the pie here, which touches not just on Amazon, but really is focused on Meta and Alphabet, is advertising. And, you know, of course, Meta and Alphabet together are the dominant players in online advertising, and the analyst community is upbeat about about the signals they're picking up on digital advertising in the fourth quarter. We'll see how it goes, but I think you know, that's led to some nice moves in both of those stocks already this year. And of course, Amazon also has exposure there. They have a nearly $50 billion run rate advertising business. And just today, literally today, we get a new arm of that business as they add advertising to the Amazon Prime Video streaming service. I don't think they'll have too much to say about that on the call, but it's something to watch. And people are excited about that. There's some expectation that this is going to be a meaningful driver for them.
I have to say, as a consumer and a viewer of Amazon Prime Video, I'm not sure I'm that excited for that.
Yeah. Now, of course, what's interesting is their approach here has been to say, look, we're going to put a small amount of advertising, 2 or 3 minutes an hour, into movies and television shows. You can pay an extra, I think it's $2.99 a month. Maybe it's $3.99 a month. I can't remember. I think it's $2.99 a month to keep the ads away so that you maintain ad free.
Okay. And I guess the interesting thing about Amazon here versus any other streaming platform is, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure none of the other guys doing streaming and advertising have a massive e-commerce business behind them. So there's a difference with Amazon advertising. Right.
Well, Amazon Prime Video is arguably just sort of like a tack-on service to the primary goal here, which is like free shipping on all your purchases on Amazon, right? And so there was a story in the Wall Street Journal this morning that basically said some people were cutting their Amazon Prime subscriptions in protest. I don't know if that's really like a logical thing to do, but it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I note that although it's not a, I don't think there's a lot of seeds from this, a lot of intelligence from this, but Netflix last week, of course, had very good earnings. Yeah. The stock soared largely on a big spike in subscriber growth. I'm not sure that you can extrapolate that to many other companies, but they are seeing some traction in their advertising business. Now, of course, they've come at it in a different direction. They basically are offering you that as an option Amazon's approach is to make the default. They have a lot of viewers.
I guess what I'm thinking though is like, there's the potential for an Amazon Video, Prime Video ad to look very different from a Netflix ad. Netflix presumably has and will be kind of more branding focused. I would imagine that what Amazon is going to be thinking about is kind of, I mean, maybe some of it will be branding as we've seen on their football games, but like there could be a call to action in their advertising, whether it's like saving something to my cart on my Apple TV by clicking something when I see an ad, right? I mean,
right. Yeah. I don't know if the, if that mechanics will be in place, but I think what will certainly be in place is they'll be able to know that you saw a particular ad on a particular show. And then an hour later we're buying it on Amazon.
Right.
So,
right.
Right. I think there's some very powerful
synergies
there. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. So I want to throw out one other trend that I think is worth keeping an eye on. I mean, so if you think about what happened last year, the big run up in tech stocks generally and mega caps in particular was the year of efficiency, as Mark Zuckerberg likes to say. Meta in particular cut about a quarter of their workforce, driving up margins as they made an attempt to be more shareholder friendly. Now, and other people did something similar. You've had a lot of, you had a period with a lot of job cuts and cost cutting in the tech space. And that does tend to improve margins, which improves profits, and then make shareholders happy. Now, I will say there are some offsets that you have to keep an eye on. One is like market the cost of doing AI involves considerable capital expense, right? You have to buy very expensive NVIDIA chips or comparable chips from others. You have
$30,000 a pop, right?
$30,000 a pop. Mark Zuckerberg last week said that they were going to buy by the end of 2024, they'll have 350,000 NVIDIA H100 chips and the equivalent of 600,000.
Like, so that's a lot of dough.
That's a lot of dough. And then meanwhile, I think if you go back and look at what Mark said on their last call, was that they were going to have to accelerate hiring in some places because they got a little overly enthusiastic and on their job cuts. And there's a lot of need for AI engineers. Mark also said they were going to, they're spending a lot of money, as we know, on like developing their own large language models and that sort of thing. AI engineers are extremely expensive. I mentioned to you, Alex, the other day, I talked to one CEO who told me that if you're going to hire like a pretty senior level AI engineer, the costs all in, including, stock options expense over a 4-year period is like $20 million.
For one engineer.
One person. Yeah. Like you think they were playing shortstop, right? Like or point guard. I mean, these are
NBA salaries.
You're talking about PhDs with some experience in the field, but nonetheless, gives you a sense that there is a talent war in AI. And I think one of the things to keep an eye on that I don't think too many people are talking about is what impact is this going to have on margins and capital spending?
I think that's a fascinating question, and it's coming.
Okay.
I mean, I guess we've talked a little too about whether part of this year of efficiency came, I mean, part of it was, rising rates. And so rates rose, people got nervous about high PE tech stocks and profits being far out. And so you saw this year of efficiency. I think also though, investors got a little bit tired of like the product and what was out there in tech. So now you get this shiny new thing in AI, and suddenly are investors going to be willing to see runaway spending again? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, look, it is the only real story in tech now, right? I mean, I was at CES a few weeks ago, the big, tech trade show in Las Vegas every year. And I'm not sure what anyone would have had to talk about if it wasn't for AI. There was literally no other hot trend. Now people will try and convince you there were things going on in, healthcare and you know, fitness and EVs and autonomous driving, all the stuff. But at the end of the day, really, it was all about AI. And so
AI, even the new phones, even the new phones are about AI now.
Everything is about AI.
Okay. So let me ask you, I guess, to put on a bit of your, well, actually, before we do that, before we talk more specifically about this week's earnings, anything more you want to talk about from this past week, you know, sort of the warm-up act to the big tech week of earnings? We did hear from IBM, Texas Instruments, Tesla. That was actually probably the biggest one. Intel, some surprises, some big stock moves. Any lessons we've already learned from earnings?
Yeah, there's a few things. On the positive side, as we mentioned, you know, some of the commentary around enterprise spending and AI, but, you know, more generically on enterprise spending was pretty positive from SAP, ServiceNow, and in particular from IBM, where the stock had one of its best days in like decades. Getting pretty close, not quite there, but getting close to an all-time high, which is astonishing. This is a company that's like, you know, over 100 years old. And was once, you know, viewed as like left for dead.
Yeah.
And IBM is suddenly a hot AI company. So I think there's, but so anyway, I think there's some positive signs in there for enterprise spending. There's still some mixed signals from semiconductor land. In particular, the Texas Instruments numbers were pretty disappointing. And I think there's an ongoing trend. And this was, I've written about this, and I think there were some signals at CES that chip makers that supply industrial and automotive applications are still seeing high customer inventory that they over ordered during the pandemic, and that's still playing through. It still has ripple effects, right? So there's some trouble in that part of the market. Intel did not have a good quarter. The quarter was okay. The guidance was not that good.
Terrible, right? I
mean, it was pretty bad. They missed pretty big time. And there's a sense that they continue to lose market share to AMD in the data center. Their foundry strategy is still like a long way off from really paying off. This is, you know, that Intel's building fabs to sell capacity to other people, but it's a giant bet, multi-billion dollar bet, but it's going to take some time to pay off. So I think that was a little disappointing to some people. Intel potentially, you know, has this idea that they want to compete in AI, and they're working at it. But it's AMD that seems to be the current primary competitor.
So, let's talk about AMD for a second, actually. So they report tomorrow. We'll get to more of our listeners' questions in a little bit. But I think AMD wins the award for the most questions today. Everyone seems interested in AMD. Everyone's talking about AMD all of a sudden. In some ways it's natural given all the attention that its longtime rival NVIDIA has been getting over the last year. But what do you make of AMD right now? What do you think could happen tomorrow? What are we going to hear tomorrow? What are investors going to be looking for tomorrow?
Well, I think there's a few things happening with AMD. For the biggest one is clearly that people look at it as NVIDIA Junior, right?
Like
that NVIDIA completely dominates the market for GPUs. You know, the core chips used in to do large language models, to do AI inference work. They dominate the market. AMD is catching up. So AMD has some competitive chips. You had the phenomenon of none other than Elon Musk talking about the other day, tweeted something about that he's buying some AMD chips. The implication in, I mentioned, you know, we talked about Zuckerberg's comments on all the H100s he's going to buy, and that some of them are going to be H100 equivalents. Well, the speculation has been those are either lower powered NVIDIA chips or their AMD chips, right? So there's a lot of belief that AMD is on the move in this space. And, you know, keep in mind, this stock is up already almost 20% year to date. And, you know, about the only non-M&A stock that's up more than that is NVIDIA itself. It's up about 24% year to date. So that's a big part of it. Now there are some other elements. They Intel, showed that they're losing some market share in conventional servers, and the only people they could really be losing it to for the most part is AMD. So there's strength there. And then the wild card for this year is PCs, where AMD, Intel, and even Qualcomm will be beneficiaries if we see a real pickup in PC unit volumes this year. And there's widespread expectations that will happen. Some of it could be from this AI PC trend, which I've written quite a bit about. This is this idea that you'll be able to run AI models at the edge of the network, in your PC, even in your smartphone. There's some hope in the PC industry that as that begins to happen, you will see a refresh cycle in PCs that would benefit AMD too. We'll see if they have anything to say about that. That's probably more of a late second half 24, maybe 25 phenomenon before it picks up a lot of steam. There's some other reasons to think there's a refresh cycle in the works. And so that's another element to the AMD story. So I think it's going to be, people will want to see good numbers. I mean, obviously the stock has been flying. So, and the estimates are increasing. There was one analyst last week from New Street Research who basically argued that if all goes well, AMD could be, you know, a quadruple from here. People love to read stuff like that. So I think there's a lot of optimism. It's going to be an interesting one. Aside from all the, you know, the other, let's call them Mag 6. I feel like NVIDIA needs to be kicked out of the club.
I think you mean Tesla.
Tesla, I'm sorry.
Right, we're going to come back to that. So,
anyway, I think so. Yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating to see. Maybe right. One of the more important ones.
Okay, and also, so one question also that's kind of related to last week and brings us forward is we have a question from James who asks if an Intel miss, which you've talked about, automatically kind of means an NVIDIA predicts an NVIDIA miss. Can you talk through that a little bit? And do those two, how correlated are Intel's results and NVIDIA's results these days?
I think they're not that correlated. I mean, I think, you know, because if you think about Intel's being driven by conventional servers and PCs, and then their, you know, capital needs for their fab strategy, and, you know, NVIDIA is largely driven by this insatiable desire to buy more GPUs. I don't think there's that much overlap. I think it's a little more correlated with AMD, but I don't think Intel's miss portends anything for
AMD. Okay. All right. So let's get to a little bit more specifics for tomorrow. So we've talked about AMD. We also tomorrow have Microsoft and Alphabet, right? Microsoft is a stock you know quite well. There's a lot of AI excitement, as you've said. There's some cloud excitement. What are we going to be watching? What are we going to learn about its so-called Copilot software, which is its AI kind of layer on top of Office 365? What do you expect to hear there? How important is it?
Yeah. Okay. So there's a few moving parts for Microsoft here. As you say, there's going to be a lot of hope that they will say something about the early uptake for the Copilot software, this AI companion software for 365, their Office suite, basically. This is, you know, very widely used, as of course all of our listeners know, and Microsoft is going to charge, or has begun to charge, an extra $30 a month per user to use Copilot for 365. If there's even modest uptake for this software, we're talking billions of dollars in additional revenue.
And Eric, just to be clear, so the idea of Copilot is, you know, most of us, while we've used Word or Excel or PowerPoint for years, most of us are not using that software to its fullest because it's pretty complex.
Right.
The idea with Copilot is that it would actually finally push it further for a lot of us.
Yeah, so I'll give you a couple of examples. Like one would be a typical kind of AI type of example, which is to summarize a document. Give me, here's a bunch of material here, the notes from our meeting, summarize and make me a list of the key points and action items, say something like that. Or it could be draft a press release that is going to announce a new.
Okay. But ChatGPT will actually do that for me. Already.
Yes, ChatGPT will do that, but then you are running the risk of sharing your information with OpenAI, which most people want to do. Now, the other I think compelling case would be say let's say you have a spreadsheet, an Excel spreadsheet, and you want to make a PowerPoint out of your Excel spreadsheet. If you told me to do that, I would I would turn pale and.
Right. Right.
Like I find it very complicated to do that kind of thing. But you'll be able to say in natural language, please turn this spreadsheet into a PowerPoint deck. And then, you'll get a version. Then you'll say, no, I don't want a pie chart, make it a bar chart. And could you make the bars green? And could you change the scale? And like you're just doing it all in text.
Okay. So that's the power of it.
That's the power of it. So anyway, we'll see if they. I don't think we're going to get any hard numbers. I think everyone would be shocked if we got hard numbers from them about the early launch. They just launched it just recently, but I suspect you'll get some color, some qualitative commentary about how they're doing, and I suspect it will be very positive. But we'll see. The street would love if they would give us a little bit of detail, but I don't think we're going to get it. Now, key element of the story, as I mentioned earlier, is going to be Azure. And, last quarter, the last two quarters, they've been saying things like, I think two quarters ago, they said, we got 1 point of additional growth from AI workloads in Azure. And then I think last quarter, they said 3 points of additional workloads. Of additional growth from workloads related to AI and Azure, we'll see. But I think if the Azure numbers are good, if they beat expectations for Azure, that will be very positive for Microsoft. There are obviously other parts to the story here. PCs still matter to Microsoft. They still sell a lot of Windows. There's some expectations that they're starting to see some rebound there. I'd note that the segment. They have like these horrible segment names at Microsoft. The PC part, which is called More Personal Computing. I don't know why they call it that, but that's what they call it, which includes a lot of other stuff, including their gaming business. And so it'll look like substantial growth, largely because of the Activision acquisition will be in that number. And so you'll get like big growth numbers there, like high teens. But I think that's mostly a reflection of that acquisition. So it'll be a little bit of focus on that, but it's going to be all about AI. And I'm pretty optimistic, I think.
Don't you think we could get, for Copilot, could we get something along the lines of early indications are outpacing our own internal projections? And if so...
Totally hear something like that.
But do you think that's going to be enough if we got something like that? Yes. My sense is that would move the stock, right?
Higher. I think that would move the stock. And it would drag a lot of other stuff up with it.
Like
right.
I think traders are just so... Or investors are looking for any crumbs they can get right now. When it comes to AI monetization. So even that would be material.
Anything that Microsoft says along those lines that's positive will be helpful. Now, I'd note the stock is having kind of a moment. I mean, Microsoft is up 8%+ year to date. The company hit $3 trillion for the first time. The stock inched past Apple. I've looked today. It's kind of they switch places almost by the day. But Microsoft basically passed Apple as the most valuable U.S. traded company, over $3 trillion. Everything seems to be going right for them, and it's all about AI. I mean, stock has rallied 64% over the last 12 months. We've written before about how Microsoft last year, along with Apple, actually, both companies were the only two companies ever in history that had $1 trillion in market cap in 1 year, which they did in 2023. You could certainly see further gains from here. And my sense is that's the one, along maybe with AMD, that people are going to be watching the most closely this
week. Okay. All right, so let's do, and we can do this one relatively quickly because I do want to get to some more questions, and I want to get to Apple too in a minute. Alphabet, how big a deal is this one?
Yeah, I think Alphabet is the purest advertising play. They obviously have an AI business. They have a substantial play in AI. They also have a cloud business, as we talked about before, right? Google Cloud. But it's really a health check on the digital advertising economy. And I think it's going to be pretty good for both Google Search and for YouTube. You know, there'll be, could be some effects from YouTube's Sunday Ticket football package, which will fully hit this quarter. We'll see if that has any real impact. But I think the big question is just going to be about, around advertising. And the same is largely true for Meta. I mean, okay. Meta, there's a few other sort of elements to this story, as we were saying.
Well, you mentioned the spending element.
Yeah, sure. So I think that's a, and you know, that's not, that could be a factor for Google too. I mean, they're spending a lot of money also on AI. So okay. So I would keep
an eye. So we're going to watch, we're going to be watching for AI commentary. We're going to be watching for profit margins potentially, or projections on profit margins that are taking a hit from AI spending. So those right. are kind of the gives and give and take.
Right. Now, so I'll give you a wild card that's related on both of them, right? They both have chunks of their business that no one can figure out why they are actually doing them. In Meta's case, it's their namesake. It's the metaverse.
Where right, right.
More than $10 billion a year, well over probably $12 or $13 billion a year in losses, right? So they're, it's just it's a giant money pit. And they don't even talk about it that much anymore. They do talk a little bit about their, you know, Ray-Ban mixed reality glasses and
right.
that Quest, and that business is a couple $1 billion a year in revenue, but it's losing them a lot of money. I, honestly, if they came out and said, we're going to slash our spending on the metaverse, the stock would rally.
Stock would go nuts. All right. Now, yeah. There's a similar issue then for Alphabet, I take
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So the similar issue there is they have this category they call other bets, which includes a bunch of other experiments. The biggest one is Waymo, the autonomous driving company. There's been some, you know, their former CFO is now in charge of, among other things, like figuring out what to do with other bets. So like, I think at some point you could see Google do something with some of those assets. I don't know that we get anything this quarter. That would be sort of a surprise.
Yeah.
But it's something to sort of,
you all know, right. Okay. All right. Well, we are getting this is very nice to see. We're getting a lot of questions as we go. We also had some questions from a lot of people prior to the call. So I promised we were going to get to some of those. But before we do, Eric, let's quickly talk about Apple, because, yes. You know, in the list of themes to watch at the beginning of the call, you know, you talked about AI, you talked about the cloud, you talked about e-commerce and advertising. So Apple has almost none of those. Really,
there's a little bit here, a little bit of advertising.
A little bit, fine. A little bit AI. So, they're reporting Thursday. You just did a cover story at the end of last year about Apple's kind of their search for growth. What do we make of Apple right now? They're kind of like off to the side, it feels like, at the moment, even though they're still the world's first or second largest company.
Yeah. You know, I think it's telling that if you look at these five big ones or six, if you could AMD, all the stocks are doing great this year, except for Apple, which is actually down about a little under 1% year to date. They're going to report another quarter of, you know, probably flat growth. There's some concerns on the street that, you know, the March quarter might not be great either. They've got a couple of core problems. Like problem number one is they are running into new competitive pressures in China. They reportedly have cut prices on iPhones in China. Huawei is gaining considerable traction with their high-end smartphone. And meanwhile, you know, there's not much growth in their other hardware businesses. The Mac is, there's some thinking that maybe the Mac is going to have a little bit better year-over-year growth this quarter, but you know, there's not much growth in the Mac. The iPad is likely to have a double-digit decline in revenues this quarter. The same goes for the kind of catch-all wearables and home business, which includes things like, you know, AirPods and speakers and various other things, and the watch. And so it's like, well, what's going to drive the stock? You know, there's just no... there's no real driver. I mean, they've launched Vision Pro. Early read seems to be that like demand was okay, but that's not going to move the needle, certainly on December quarter results. They didn't start shipping until this quarter and probably won't affect earnings for years.
And by the way, Eric, on Vision Pro, so I think its official release date is February 2nd. That means that probably, I'm guessing tomorrow, we're going to get the official tech reviews from a few people on those things, right? Does that?
Yeah, and so far they've been kind of meh.
Yeah. But I mean, we'll get like people who have worn them for a week, probably.
Yeah, like, something like that. Yeah,
so that could that'll be our first real read into this device.
Yeah, and of course, because the earnings come the day before the launch, we won't really have much.
Right.
You know, they've been in pre-sale for a couple of weeks now, so maybe we'll get some commentary on that.
I did see them in my advertising while watching football yesterday.
They did advertise them during the football games yesterday. Yeah. I think the other thing that people would love to see, which I'm pretty sure we will not see, is Apple talking about an AI strategy. Right. They're like literally the only company I cover regularly that seems to have no clear AI strategy. Now, there's been a lot of reporting that they're working on a large language model, or you know, they're focusing on their devices as being at the edge of the network, sort of in the AI.
Yeah, I would just say, and I say this to you all the time and others that ask, Apple is generally the company that comes in late to the party and does a better job incorporating consumer technology than anybody else. So it will be interesting if they're late to AI, whether they come in and wow us.
Yeah, no, I will say that like there's been some people I've talked to have speculated that at the next developers conference, which is generally in June, you could see, for example, some new AI powered version of Siri, maybe even a subscription version, which would address this question of like, well, how will they go to market with an AI strategy?
Right.
We'll see. They haven't said anything. An earnings call is not likely where it would show up. Tim Cook has said some things on the call in the past about AI where he talks about, you know, we're working on it, we're spending a lot of money on it, whatever.
Okay.
I saw one person point out that you might want to keep an eye on Apple's R&D, or I'm sorry, not so much R&D, but their capital investment. They're not typically a heavy capital spender. You know, they don't make things directly.
That's an interesting point. Yeah.
But if they wanted to build out a big AI strategy, they're going to have to be, you know, like calling up Jensen Huang.
That's a good idea. All right. So let's. We're going to watch that one. I mentioned we have a lot of questions. I want to get to a few of them. We'll go a little bit over today and do, you know, 5 or 10 more minutes here. So let's first start. Jerry has an interesting question, and I know this is a issue kind of close that you're interested in. He says, I believe that much of our growth in the 1990s was due to the proliferation of the early PC. Does AI have the potential to drive significantly above average growth over the next 10 to 20 years? And so before you answer that, I would just note, you know, so you had PCs in the 90s, and I would argue smartphones in kind of the aughts, right? So now we're moving.
Yeah, right. I think you can't separate the web and the smartphone revolution.
So are we looking at? I mean, is this going to drive us for 20 years in tech the way PCs and consumer devices did, and business devices?
I think there's a substantial possibility. I think there's a strong case you can make that, yeah, this is the beginning of a really big change and it's so early. You know, these kinds of comparisons are always tough to make. But somebody said to me that, like, relative to the internet, this isn't 1999. This is 1995. Right. Like, we're just starting.
Right.
And we don't know exactly how it's going to play out. And we don't really know who, you know, the long-term winners are going to be, right? I mean, in the internet period, in the internet build-out period, a lot of the initial winners were like Cisco and, JDS Uniphase and like people like that nobody talks about anymore, or Juniper. So it was these like infrastructure players, and a lot of the early software players didn't really...
I'm not going to ask you who the current version of JDS Uniphase is.
I think it's a little hard to tell. I feel like I'm going to hold my tongue on this one for a future story. But I think there's but it's just really early. But I think that the power of the technology is substantial, and it's going to be a factor for for tech for a long time to come. But I've run into almost no one, and I talked to a lot of CEOs and other people in the industry, and they all are excited about this. Exactly how it plays out, exactly who the winners will be, exactly what the impact is going to be on like cost structures and things like that, we'll see.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a pretty big deal for.
Okay. All right. I want to go to a question from Lee, also kind of a big picture question, but I think a really fascinating one, which is sort of asking about the meaning and of large language models, which we talk a lot about in these days with respect to AI. It's sort of what OpenAI has, right, that you run your chatbots through. And Lee says, or asks, can a large language AI system have consciousness if it is only a set of mathematical formulas or algorithms performed at incredible speed in parallel? So I'm going to ask you to, you're not a scientist necessarily, Eric, but give us an answer to that one.
Well, okay. So I think what this question gets at is this notion of AGI, which is artificial general intelligence, which is actually sounds a lot like what we've generally talked about with AI, but it's actually a different concept, right? Artificial general intelligence is the idea that you're going to basically have like a sentient kind of software that you're going to have like HAL from 2001, right? Like you're going to have some sort of computing technology that is self-aware and can be proactive in making decisions on things, as opposed to most generative AI, which is arguably more about like pattern recognition and pattern matching, and it seems like magic, but like at the end of the day, it's just software, right? And so everyone in the AI business is obsessed about this idea of AGI, and that's where you start to get these debates about like, you know, existential threats from technology. But certainly OpenAI is working on this. Mark Zuckerberg just said they're working on AGI, right? And so there's a lot of debate about this. I don't think it exists yet, right? Maybe in some, you know, secret lab at, you know, OpenAI, they're working on this and they have some more progress. They're not showing us yet, but I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we have the compute capacity. I don't think we have the technology just yet, but it's coming. I think at some point it's almost inevitably coming. And of course, what isn't entirely clear, since we don't really have this technology yet, is, is it a real threat? Like, or is it just going to be like a fantastic tool that's going to make us all better at our jobs? That's sort of the optimistic view. So yeah, we'll see, but it's not here yet.
Okay. All right. Let me ask, this is a live one, and, you know, feel free to pun if you don't have a strong feeling on it, but Brian asks, do you have a surprise earnings beat that might be controversial?
A surprise earnings
beat. Or maybe we just stick with, you know, a controversial stock, or, you know, any, what do you think? Someone else asked about Palantir, so we could combine those two questions, because I know.
Yeah, so, you know, I think, well, so Palantir is interesting. It's a fascinating company. It's ultimately, it's an AI bet, but it's also one with, you know, political overtones.
Right.
Because of who they are. Who
their customers are, right?
Who their customers are. Now, they have, to be fair, Palantir has two sets of customers. They have commercial customers, but they also have government customers. Their commercial business has been growing better late than their government customers. I think Palantir actually has some very powerful technologies going to be around for a while. I don't think I would make a single quarter earnings call about Palantir. It's hard to call out one name in particular as going to be like, oh, that one's going to really shock everybody. I think one I'll mention a few things that I think are worth watching. And as it turns out, none of these are reporting right this moment. But I would, I continue to remain fascinated by what Oracle is doing. Oracle is kind of the fourth player in the cloud. Oracle's cloud was written off as kind of like, you know, silly, like kind of like wannabe kind of activity for a long time. And they're now taking real and meaningful share in that business. Their results have been, I think, handicapped, muffled by the trouble they've had integrating Cerner, the healthcare company that they bought. But I wouldn't sleep on Oracle. I think Oracle is making meaningful progress in the cloud here and will remain a major player. And I think it's a little bit underappreciated. One other thing I think I would take a close look at, and again, I don't think it shows up this quarter, but at some point we're going to get a real turn in PC demand. And I would keep an eye on both Dell and HP. I've written about this a little bit. Now, those are off quarter reporters. They have like, they have a January quarter year end, so they won't report for another month or so. And I think the real impact there will be probably a few quarters out, but there's going to be a turn in the PC business, and these are both very cheap stocks.
All right. Well, those are definitely good ideas. I appreciate you thinking through that with us. And I think we're going to have to call it a call. So we could keep going, but we're going to have to stop here. So Eric, thank you so much for the time. I look forward to doing this with you again sometime soon. And thanks to our listeners. If you would like to listen to this session again, or you missed part of it, please visit barons.com/live or visit Barons live podcast channels on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Lauren and Ben will be back next Monday with more market commentary. Thank you again for listening and have a great day.
The energy transition is a long and winding road, and it needs to be taken step by step. Learn more at SiemensEnergy.com.